We're up and running.
Right,
thank you. Yeah, so good morning, everyone. After that Australian citizenship ceremony, that was a fantastic way to go to our break. We'll now move on to 26.13.5. Over to you again, Raoul.
Thank you, Mayor. The review of policy LG40, which is our rates and charges policy. Councillors, given the municipal revaluation, the items that have come before it, the appropriate approach before setting a rates resolution, as we're about to, was to actually review the policy framework that supports our decision making. And the rates policy hadn't been updated for a couple of years, but it was, it's actually updated 2025. So we have consistently updated it to align with really, I think, what's been our evolving approach to understanding what we want to achieve with our rates, as we talked about before. So really, the updated policy just cements that a little bit further. The report clearly outlines for councillors in particular where we have land use classifications. The Valuer General has land use codes, and we can apply land use codes into our land use classifications to create land use categories, land use classifications. So under the differential rating approach that we have, we've specifically created the utilities land use category, which has, P11, P13. The quarries category takes, the Q categories from the Valuer General. And then with short stay accommodation, which has been really topical around the state for a couple of years now, the Valuer General created Land Use Code R9, which is effectively a residential land use code, but it's been used to be applied to short stay accommodation. Interestingly, in our rates system, we already have some R9s there that are genuinely accommodation businesses. There's one down at Denison River that is just a permanent accommodation business, but it's been categorised by the Valuer General as an R9. So it's a statement of intent, as well as a statement of direction as to how the new rating structure will work. It's really at a mechanical level or a policy level. And I'm happy to take any questions the councillors might have, Mayor, in relation to it.
Thank you, Raoul, for that explanation. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Johnston. Any questions to Raoul on this? Councillor Johnston.
Sorry, thank you. Just on when we talk about short-term accommodation, that last category that you were talking about, is that when it's a single use, like on a single house that they don't actually live in but they just rent out? Is that the, just... Because that's a lot of what's been talked about in other municipalities and across the state, that it's those places that seem to be...
They're permanent short stay accommodation businesses.
Yes.
We currently, the proposal here, we'll provide some more detail there because Councillor Johnson might probably miss the workshop discussion around it. The proposal here really is to look at the existing permit holders that we have who have permits for short stay accommodation. We'll be writing to those permit holders and saying, is that still the use that the property's being used for, which is permanent short stay accommodation, and letting them know that our intention is that we will be applying to the Valuer General to have them recategorised as R9 properties. But we will go through a process of engaging with those owners. Most of the short stay accommodation in Bracket A is not categorised as R9 currently. So it will take quite an effort. Jake and I have been working on this for quite a while. We know people in contact, and we'll be very There's quite a lot of short stay permit holders who also aren't using those permits anymore, but they haven't applied for a change of use back to residential. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of work in this. This is more a statement of intent.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Any further questions? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.13.6 is the rates resolution. Rao?
Mayor, as required by the Act, effectively the officer's recommendation is the rates resolution. So, John, would it be appropriate for someone to move and second that before I talk to it?
Sorry. I was thinking about what I was going to question myself and lost the plot. Could I have somebody move? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Chappell.
Thank you, Mayor.
Councillors, the rates resolution for Council today gives practical effect to the rating strategy that we've developed in response to the municipal revaluation. Look, before discussing this in detail, I did want to just point out, and I sort of alluded to this earlier, that during the final review of the proposed rates model, it became apparent that 35% of properties would be at or near the minimum, and that became apparent on the Friday after the workshop. We had the long weekend, the agenda had to be issued on the Tuesday. That created, let's say, a relatively challenging situation of trying to find a model that actually sat under 35% of the minimum properties. And I'd just like to thank the General Manager for his trust and belief in me, because when he arrived to work on Tuesday morning, there was a totally revised model in front of him. And I panicking, in some respects, was panicked in going to his office and saying, we discovered this late Friday and this is our response. Then when we started working through it, I think, John, it became apparent that it was actually a more fair and equitable model anyway. Our original workshop discussions were around the minimum rate on, for example, residential properties being $1,100. That's now been reduced to $900. That's a considerable difference to a very large amount of ratepayers who are on the minimum rate, who could least afford to have the increase. The model delivers exactly the same revenue as what the budget we workshopped did. It simply redistributes the revenue across to what we've described in our rates and charges policy, those with more capacity to pay. And they include utilities, public purpose and forestry specifically. That really is the main point I wanted to do, just own up to in relation to what we workshopped, what is presented within this. The model itself follows exactly the same principles as we've spoken about many times before, and the differential rating approach that we apply in this resolution recognises that not all land uses place the same demands on council infrastructure and services, and not all land use classes provide the same level of value to our communities as a fabric. And again, it really just embeds what we've been discussing all morning, is that, you know, people who live here, people who work here, people who own businesses here, and people that add to what we call break a day, every day, year in, year out, we've done as much as we can to support and cushion them from revaluations that were fundamentally unaffordable for most of our community. We've done it in a way which I think is probably the most equitable and fair way. We have introduced, as I said, the short stay accommodation land use category that at the moment only applies to a very small number of properties. But the second category we introduced is utilities. And I spoke about that before. Utility providers in this day and age are very, very different to what they once were. We used to be a utility provider. And all the community subsidised our provision of water and storage, etc. So importantly, adding these two extra elements is about having a rating structure that reflects what modern land use actually is. It doesn't just keep repeating the same patterns and categories we've historically used. And very few councils in Tasmania are actually adjusting their differential rating models to reflect that. They continue just to keep the same differentials, apply the similar approaches. We've really adjusted our approach quite a lot over the last 4 years, and I think utilities and short stay is probably the last adjustment that I can see on the horizon. But residential in particular in this model has been very heavily supported. Commercial has been heavily supported, and primary production, our farmers, have been very heavily supported too. And that is genuinely in response to the cost of living pressures that we're all facing. So with that said, Mayor, I commend the resolution to Council, and I can do any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much, Rao. And once again, the detailed response and answer that you give, I think hope will make most people understand the workload that everybody's been through in the team that you've been helping lead has got to a place where we believe it's fair, it's equitable, and we've got most of our people, the most vulnerable, are being supported and not subsidising outside of what they can afford other businesses. So I think it's a very fair model. It'll never be perfect. There'll always be people who will question, but I think in the day and age that we live in, with the cost of everything that we have to deal with today, council still has to achieve a revenue to supply services. And if we can't supply the revenue, it means which services do you drop off? So I think it's been a very fair and equitable way. Thank you for what you've done. Any questions or comments, please? Councillor Johnston.
Can you just outline the changes in utilities besides or just name what the utilities are for me, just to help me understand what you're talking about? Because I'm wondering if a utility might be a big wind farm with a turbine.
If we had wind farms, for example, in our municipality,
that would be a utility.
We would have the capacity to rate them as a utility.
Okay.
Utilities in this sense are, let's say, telecommunications towers, radio towers, water and storage infrastructure.
Okay.
And at the moment, it's confined basically to those utilities. But you're right, if we were to have, let's say, a solar farm,
a major solar farm, what are those data things?
Data centre, would that be a utility? Well, it could be.
Could be, okay.
So the valuer general comes up with these land use categories, and it's up to us to decide land use classes.
Yep.
This is where it gets confusing. It's up to us to put them into a land use category. So we've named it utilities, and in our policy, utilities includes these categories.
Okay.
Yep. So that's effectively what it relates to.
Thank you.
Going on from that, you've got obviously got businesses that come under a certain category. The splitting of, we were talking about R9 before, so you may have a mum and dad that have a another property that is a Airbnb, comes under R9 compared to, you mentioned one down at Douglas River. I'm assuming it was multiple buildings. Why is there not a difference there between your single building, your multiple, which is being run as a business, compared to a business?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get that in my head to trying to split.
It's a very, very good question.
Because they're a business. That.
Yeah, and it's something when reviewing the file, you know, there's upwards, I think, of 50 or 60 different land use codes. There's a lot of anomalies within that system where you do scratch your head and go, why is that there and not there?
Lumped in with the multiple one doesn't seem fair.
One of the learnings that we've had out of this, and certainly I've been lucky to have Jake's expertise to explain some of this to me, is that as we go through these files and we find anomalies, we now are much better positioned to actually engage with the valuer general and either request a supplementary valuation on the property or come to you as a group and say, look, we found these 40 anomalies. What do you want us to do? But the file we've got is incredibly detailed. But you're right. There's things like that that pop out where you just think that doesn't make any sense.
And being that property owner, you go, well, why am I lumped in with this multiple building business?
And then, of course, you've got the complication around strata title.
Yes.
Units within one development.
Yeah.
That's another interesting approach.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, I don't have all
the... No. Yet. It's just that's a question that I could see someone asking.
Yeah,
for sure. And, Raoul, if I may, just I think it's more typo than anything, but we've got under our waste management services that we're moving up to approximately 6732, which is 46.9% increase, but in a couple of pages later I find it's actually 59.1. It's moving up to $70.56. Now, that's been a moving target, and I appreciate our figures are still okay, but I think it's just a typo based on some of the old information, just to prove I did read the agenda. But no,
a very good job, man.
And I think a lot of people also don't realise that we collect money on behalf of state government, whether it's the fire levy. We have no choice. We have to collect it, whatever they charge. And the waste levy is another one. And it's actually, we have to collect $70.56 a tonne in 26-27. So it's those little things that actually make a difference to our rates that are also completely out of council's control. We have no say in it, that I think it's also important for the members of the public to understand.
I completely agree, Mayor, and thank you for picking that up. And I appreciate you do read the council agenda in great detail. And if you wouldn't mind, Linda, just addressing that error, because it is the $70 number that the mayor refers to.
I knew it was just a typo.
We did an incredibly detailed review, Mayor, of all typos, and I can't believe I missed that one as well. But thanks. No, I appreciate that.
Quite okay. Any other further questions or comments on this? I'm going to take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.13.7 is the budget estimates. Wow.
Deep breath there. Budget. Sorry, now my computer's just got in front of me, which isn't surprising after all this. No, it's all good. Thanks, Councillor Whittaker. Mayor, look, you probably already touched on this in what you just said recently. Councillors, the budget has been prepared in accordance with the requirements of the Act and is presented for your consideration today after being discussed at workshop. It aligns with our long-term financial plan and provides the revenue and expenditure requirements
that we not only need, but we had also planned for over a number of years. It would be fair to say, though, at a time when cost of living pressures are hitting so many people within our community, council also isn't immune to those pressures. Our contractor costs, our insurance costs, our fuel costs, so many costs and so much expenditure within this budget that at this point of time, the best we can do is estimate what they'll be. Council's made a deliberate decision to set a minor deficit budget this year, which is pretty unusual for us. But I think it shows that we take our responsibility to our ratepayers very seriously. We've done a very, very good job over the last 4 years of paying down all of our debt. We paid down the last of our debt only last week. So the budget here no longer carries forward any debt at all. We are coming under significant pressures in relation to waste management, as Mayor, you've touched on. This waste government, this waste government.
would you like to reword that?
Wow, that's a real slip of the tongue. This state government. I would suspect we'd all like to see some of that flowing back to local government, Mayor, in a more direct way than it appears to be at this point of time. But I'll let you deal with the politics of that. It's just, it keeps increasing at this extraordinary rate. And I think ratepayers would certainly want to know what they're getting for that in return. I'll leave that more as a question than a statement. And in relation to waste, next year we have to replace the Scamander Waste Compactor. That's a $1.9 million cost that in this budget we have cash funding. And we can only do that because of the discipline and the financial stewardship we've had over quite a long period of time now to get into a position where we have cash reserves, where these things can be funded, where we don't have to go and borrow money to make it happen. That said, our cash position next year, of course, will change to reflect that. So we still need to be quite vigilant around what we fund. Containing expenditure, as we have done, is going to be ever more important given we've actually budgeted for a deficit outcome already. But we have left, I think we've left our ratepayers not bearing, I guess, the burden of the economic uncertainty that surrounds everything at this point of time. We're the ones that will carry that this year. And our ratepayers, hopefully, will be able to get through what's a really challenging time, because we're not passing on that uncertainty to them directly. So, Mayor, the report really sums most of that up pretty well. I think the budget's it's a good budget. It shows that we're investing in all the services that we continue to want to provide. We are investing more in specialist employees next year, which is a really exciting time for us, especially in relation to our asset management side of staff, a new senior town planner, new engineer. They're all really important changes. And really beyond that, the Capital Works program is a sustainable program to deliver next year, given the uncertainties we've got around contractor costs, bitumen quality, fuel prices. And there's going to be some fairly major strategies delivered next year, with the livability strategy to finally come to life. And, I just commend the budget to council for consideration.
Thank you, Rao. Can I have somebody move the officers? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions to Rao? Raoul, I'd like to respond back on your waste management. Firstly, I think council, to have paid its debt down and be in a financial position to be able to cash fund 1.9 million is something that every council around the table should be very proud of. And we should be very proud of the way the staff has worked to get us, with our team working together, to be in a position like that. But I do take on board your comments. When you're paying out $70.56 a tonne, it should not be going into consolidated revenue. It should be coming back to councils for more development in recycling into other waste initiatives. And that what it was put forward there for, not to go to consolidated revenue and be wasted in another area where they haven't collected the money from. Should go back to where it's collected. And people who are paying it should see a benefit for that money that has been collected. Any other comments, Councillor Johnston?
Thank you, Mayor, for that, because that was my...
I'm sorry,
that was my
issue,
waste management. You know, the waste management... I'm just... Since it does go back to the state government, I'm just seeing that, yes, it's wonderful that we've been able to cash... have got the $1.9 million for this waste contractor... But it feels a little like what we've talked about before, and Mayor, that you, without being rude, bang on about with sometimes about the state government putting things back onto us at local government level. That just feels like that's what's happening there. Congratulations, wonderful that we've got it. But it feels like that is an area where some of that $70.56 increase we should be asking to support us. Now, that might already be in the works, but it just feels like that we're doing all of this, and I agree with the recycling and all of that, but it just feels like we've done all this work, our ratepayers are doing all this work too, and the state government is putting it into consolidated revenue. And I could say a whole lot of things about where their money's going, but I won't. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so thank you for raising it, Mayor.
I think it's really important that we don't want to be subsidising a state government. State government shouldn't be collecting money and not putting it back into the communities where it's been collected across Tasmania, or big projects, so that recycling and less rubbish into landfill is what we all want. The landfill tax levy is supposed to, like their cigarette tax, stop people from smoking. I don't think that's working that well. The reality is this is the same. We need to have a benefit for the collection so that we can, our community can benefit from less rubbish going into landfill, and we can see more and more recycling, and that money hopefully will be put to a purpose that'll help achieve all of those goals. And we just need to be vigilant and look for opportunities. Councillor Chappell.
We keep talking about circular economy. We keep getting LGAT to talk to the government, you know, on our behalf about how much all our communities in Tasmania actually want that to happen. And, again, to put the price up and then for us to see nothing back or no projects or anything like that, it's really frustrating. So... it's a bit of a slap in the face, really.
It's one of those things, Councillor Chappell, that I'm very mindful of, is when we have to deal with issues that silage wrap.
Yes.
Why aren't we funding a solution for silage wrap out of the consolidated revenue that's been collected? It's those sort of things that make communities, not just Breakaday, all of Tasmania, a better place for everybody to live. Yeah. And if you're collecting the money, let's start seeing where it's being put forward to create solutions for some of our major, and farmers do have a real issue. They need silage. We have a problem with disposal. Perhaps there's a solution there that we haven't seen, and the government's got the money. Let's put it towards something to make it better for everybody.
Yeah, agree.
Thanks, Mayor. As I said, I just put it forward as a question, and it's...
Okay, if we've got no further questions, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. I'll get off my soapbox. 26.13.8 is the audit panel minutes. And Rao, would you like to go through that? Just a condensed.
Effectively, the meeting was held in line with the meeting requirements.
requirements. There was a final meeting for the audit panel for the year. Again, thanks to councillors for coming along to that. I'm sorry I couldn't make it to dinner afterwards, but I was unwell. We've met all of our legislative requirements for the year. I'd like to thank Andy Gray, our chair. He's an incredibly smart and considerate man. He's great to work with. He actually, the audit panel itself leads us to improve our processes. It provides a significant other layer of governance and oversight over what we do. And as you can see there, we have to have all these different plans ready to go by effectively in line with the workshop and in line with the audit panel. So everything that comes forward to council has had that that lens looked over it. And yeah, any questions, Mayor, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you. Can I firstly have somebody move? Councillor Wright, second. Councillor Carter. Is there any questions on the audit panel report? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And thank you very much, Rao.
Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, councillors.
You're out of the hot seat.
I'll see you in July next year.
Maybe. 26.14.1 is the Works and Infrastructure Report. Good morning, David. Would you like to give us a bit of an update, David?
Yeah. First of all, my apology there. It's my error in the toys and subdivision inspections. There's a line as it says here. That shouldn't be there. We've been busy looking at the ring of the subdivision and particularly the issue of the detention basin. On that regard, I'm just going to advise the council that the basin is no longer part of the stormwater system at Nicholas Drive. It's been disconnected and it's currently being filled in. And with that, we met with some residents there who wanted us to keep an area of vegetation to the east and the southern side of the basin, which we've done. And that then will sort of be there until a further decision is made as to how the public open space will be developed beyond that. Tully Street Stormwater has been a significant project for us. I've just received this morning the design drawings for the Annie Street component to deal with the flooding issue there at the bottom of Stewart Court. So we'll be working through those. And the waste compact replacement, the general manager and I have reviewed the concept for that facility. There's a bit more validation work to do with the solutions and the Lantana site. And before we progress to detailed design, once we have that next level of detail, we'll provide a briefing to you in workshop.
Thank you very much, David. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation be received? Councillor Whittaker, second to Councillor Oldham. Any questions to David on this? Councillor Carter?
It isn't a question, it's actually a compliment, I suppose. There's been some flowering gums planted at the Bridge Esplanade Scamander, which was a process that went on for quite a number of months, given the ownership of the land, etc. So I'd just like to publicly acknowledge the work of Cashews and Wayne and his crew in terms of making sure that those trees were planted and that they're going to thrive into the future on behalf of Sandy von Stiglitz. So thanks. If you could pass that on to people, thank you.
If we have no further comments, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And 26.14.2 is the Animal Control Report. David, just take it as read.
Yes.
Somebody like to move the report be received? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Whittaker. No comments to David. I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thanks very much, David. 26.15.1 is a community services report. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi. Jenna. Good morning, Chris. Would you like to take us through the report? Jenna. Jenna, would you like to take us through the report on behalf of Chris? Thank you.
Nothing much further to add to the report apart from under the wellbeing, the community wellbeing report, Renee mentioned our volunteer profiles that were showcased throughout National Volunteer Week on our Facebook page. Just wanted to say that some of those profiles got more than 10,000 views, so it was very well received. So it was a good way of thanking just some of our local volunteers.
Thank you very much, Jen. And I can say wholeheartedly, people really were surprised and were very, very supportive of having it up there on the Facebook. Can I have somebody move that the Community Services, Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Wright. Any comments on the Community Services report? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And 26.15.2 is a visitor information report. Thanks, Jen.
The VIC banners have now been installed in the main street of St Helens, which look fantastic. I don't know if any of you have noticed those. I just want to say thank you to the works crew for hanging them up.
Thanks, Jen. Have somebody move the report be received. Councillor Barnes, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any comments? Take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.15.3 is the Brigaday Arts Incorporated. Jen, would you like to talk to this one, please?
Yeah. So they've requested funding under our community grants funding program for this financial year. Nothing much to add to the report apart from that the Brigaday Artist Group will be advised that if they are successful in receiving the funding, that this will be a one-off funding agreement.
Thank you very much, Jen. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright and seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions on this? I think we discussed it pretty well at workshops, I think. Councillor Fever?
Just going to make a comment. I'm really pleased to hear that that's going to be stressed to them that it's a one-off contribution. And I think it's really important. We need to prioritise to get that overarching body organised in the very short term. And I'm pleased that Bodra are making noises that they're happy to give up their name, because you would think that that overarching body would be called Brigaday Regional Arts. And then they can then fund the money out, channel it out. So I think that's a priority.
There's no further questions. I'll take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.15.4. Jen, the ladder on the pontoon.
Funding of the ladder at Schematic Pontoon. Nothing further to add to this report. Apart from the fact that we will fund, if successful, we'll fund the extra out-of-pocket expenses through the community grants program for the budget.
Thanks, Jean. Can I have somebody move that? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions on that? Councillor Carter?
My question is, thank you. I guess this request was quite a number of months ago, and it's just quietly brewed away. And Chris and Jennifer making sure they came to fruition, and it's great that Mars tipped in on it as well.
Well done. Any further questions or comments? Take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
26.16.1 is the Development Services Report, and good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
Jake, would you like to talk us through anything in your report?
I don't think so, Mayor. Still on the recruitment journey as a department. We are in the final stages of finalising the strategic planning projects, being the industrial land use study and the Skamander Bay Morris structure plan. Couldn't quite get them to the June meeting, and I'm away in the July meeting, so they'll be before you for the August meeting for final adoption. Other than that, just obviously finalising projects for the end of the financial year, Mayor, but happily to take questions.
Thank you, Jake. Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Barnes. Any questions, please, to Jake? Councillor Johnston.
Hey, Jake.
Hi.
Just what you just said then about those two reports that you're working on and that it'll come to the August meeting. Is there a space to bring that to workshop, or is that how it would work?
Yeah, through you, Mayor, absolutely. Probably July workshop,
okay.
Potentially August as well, but yeah, bit of work being done in the background there just to wrap those ones up to present to Council, absolutely.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.16.2 is the protection of the scenic natural values. Jake?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. So, this one is a result of the four separate motions that we separated out and dealt with that were brought forward by the North East Bioregional Network at the AGM. This first report relates specifically to the ban, proposed ban of strata titles and the ban of mobile dwellings for visitor accommodation. So in the report, I put those into, I guess, two quite separate issues. Obviously, strata titles being one and the visitor accommodation under the planning scheme being the other. So, yeah, discussed at length there the Strata Titles Act, which is currently still under review, and after speaking with the department, they're hoping to close out the review of that bit of legislation prior to the end of the year, which would be good to see what comes out of that. And Council have made a submission which are in part consistent with some of the concerns that are raised in these submissions. So we propose that to not make any further submissions in relation to the Act, because we think that the main issues there have already been captured and with the Department for consideration. We just need to wait for the outcomes in relation to that. In terms of visitor accommodation, this is obviously something that's regulated by the planning scheme. I've provided some details in the report, and I mean, effectively, you know, they can be potentially permitted or discretionary uses in relation to the scheme, but a blanket prohibition would require a substantial amount of, research to determine exactly what that scope might look like. Propose amendments to the local provision schedules that's supported by the, you know, relevant planning investigations and reports, and then obviously put forward to the Commission for their decision. It's not something we can decide at a local level. So it would represent a significant strategic planning project, and it isn't a body of work that's currently on Council's radar. My recommendations there to put forward some of those concerns directly to the state government, because we feel that some of these issues really are more appropriate to that state government level. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Jake. Can I have somebody move that we receive the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded. Councillor Carter. Any questions to Jake on this? Councillor Johnston?
I actually want to try and put an amendment, but maybe I'll just state what I would prefer that the council would do. I would like to see the council initiate a strategic planning project to investigate the land use planning impacts of tourism accommodation and strata subdivision for tourism. I say this, it was at an AGM meeting, as we all know, and it was passed, which I note isn't in the information here. It was not only was it put, it was actually passed at the AGM. So I feel that when we talk about community, that was actually what they wanted to do. And I do thank, I want to thank the all the work that's been done. I can see, and I thank the council for all its attempts to look at this, but I would suggest that that still happened, because what we have seen through this is we've seen more ribbon development, we've seen unrelated cluster developments like the stuff that at Little Beach Glamping, we've seen increased intensification of development in unserviced settlements, loss of residential amenity, and then, of course, the impacts that we've had around, you know, the sewerage and around stormwater, a whole bunch of those things. So for me, I would have liked to have seen that we take a... actually do the investigation, do the work. I hear what all the work that you put in here, but for me, that's what I would have... like to have seen that the council did. And also, I just think we need to note that this motion that was put at the AGM was actually put by Todd Dudley. I know he's the president of NEBN, but the motion was actually put by Todd Dudley as a right payer. NEBN is not the right payer, or the so that's who it was put by. I just feel that we should note that. But I don't know where that goes, Mayor, but there might... I mean, I don't know if that's a... I would like to have seen that. I don't know if that's a... speaking against, maybe it is speaking against the motion, that I would have seen us, like to have seen us initiate a strategic planning project because of the impacts that it is having on our municipality, for the people, for the place, the stress it's putting on a lot of our infrastructure, and of course our coastal environment. So that's what I'd like to say. Thank you,
thank you for
allowing me to do that.
Okay, any further discussion? Councillor Fever?
I just totally support the recommendation.
Councillors put in their submission, expressed their thoughts in the past, and if NBN wishes to progress this, then they have every right to do that to the state government.
Okay, any further comment? Councillor Whittaker?
Thank you for the comments. I'd just like to support the all the comments that Councillor Johnston has put forward. I've also got written down, is there nothing Council can do to support the motion that was put forward?
Through you, Mayor. Look, I guess it's a question for councillors that if, you know, in future budgets they want to put provisions set aside for this sort of work, and that's certainly something that, you know, a matter for council. I guess, you know, from a department perspective, there's only so much we can do, and obviously the Scamander, Beau Morris and the industrial land use examples of projects we have been able to get off the ground. As a priority for the department, it's important that we progress any, you know, if and when approved by council, the actions associated with those. And so, you know, I guess, you know, it's whilst we can put the dollars and cents aside to progress these strategic projects, we also need to have the staff to manage the projects through the process. So I guess that's my comment, is that, we can always flag them for potential projects for future budgets, but at this point, we've sort of...
Thank you for that, Jake. Councillor Johnston?
Thank you, Mayor. That is something quite significant, what you just said then, and I don't know where we note that, because I know it's not part of a motion, but for me that's very significant, what you've said, that it could be something that we discuss at a later date, and we put that to if there's, you know, more money, or not even more money, that it becomes a priority. So thank you for that. That is that makes my heart a little bit warmer. Thank you.
If we have no further comments on this, I'm going to take the officer's recommendation to the vote. All in favour? Against? We have Councillor Whittaker, Councillor Wright and Councillor Johnston against, so that is carried. 26.16.3, Jake, protection of scenic values.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. So this one obviously relates to the reintroduction of what was previously in place, which prohibited subdivision within the kilometre of the coastline outside of established settlements. Not a new issue for council, and it's obviously been discussed on a lot of different levels in previous council meetings. So I guess there's a few points I've made in the report, but this one has been addressed at previous at the implementation of the statewide planning scheme in our previous local provisions schedule discussions. At that point in time, the TPC wasn't supportive of that policy position. What I've indicated in the report is that, you know, there are controls in place under the current zone provisions, including the minimum lot sizes and other applicable controls. And just a part of some of the feedback we got in workshopping this topic, we did do a bit of a high-level assessment just to see, well, if all of the potential zones within the... potential properties within a kilometre of the coast were subdivided to full potential, we identified that around 30 properties would be you know, potentially eligible for subdivision. So I've got that little bit of background there for your information. I guess it's similar in the previous one, is that, you know, a significant amount of strategic work would need to be put in place and relevant justifications put forward to the Commission to, you know, make those local provisions apply for break a day. And we don't necessarily know that even after that work's completed whether or not the Commission would support it. The recommendations are there, and similar to the previous matter is that, you know, we've identified there that, you know, that this work cannot be progressed at this time without further council direction and consideration of resources. So.
Thanks, Jay. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Barnes. Any questions to Jake on this? Councillor Johnston.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like, of course, what I would have liked the council have the councillor, the officer's report would have been the council reintroduce the prohibition of subdivision within 1 kilometre of the coast outside of settlements to prevent ribbon development and unrelated cluster development through a specific area plan. I understand, most of us know the history, and I don't want to necessarily go over it, but it was approved in 2005, and then in 2013 the council supported retaining that in Broker Day. In 2023, the council, the NEBN, the North East Bioregional Network, did put in a specific area plan. I always want to call them special, but they're specific, to maintain the 1 kilometre rule. But the council actually opposed that. They opposed that, and then the TPC opposed it as well. And I think it's really important for us to... You've just said 30 properties could be, yeah, further developed, right? So since the recent loss of the subdivision area, we've had we've had Rinkler's Lagoon, 3 lots of Seaview Avenue, 2 lots in Seaview Avenue, 3 lots at 4 Mile Creek. There's a number of things that have gone through because of getting rid of the prohibition. I understand what you said about that the TPC said that back in whenever it was, 2023 or maybe 2022, that the 1 kilometre law was not transferable. I'm using the word law, but we know what we mean, from the old Breaker Day planning scheme to the new zones. I understand but there was still a pathway for us to use a specific area plan, and there still is a pathway for us to use a specific area plan. I congratulate the council on the high-level review of the properties within the relevant zone. So I suggest that potentially if that review's already been done, that for, you know, the potential for further subdivisions, we sort of know what it is. Maybe you can explain to me, but it would feel to me that much of the strategic work has already been completed. And I congratulate the division on doing that. So for me, I would have liked to have seen us protect what we have, our place, and again, for our people, for our place, for why, and, you know, broader, why people come here. But, I'd just like to put that to you and to the councillors.
Anyone else like to comment? Councillor Fever?
Yeah, I just support everything Jake said. It's been to the Planning Commission, didn't progress any further. NEBN can put a submission in. There are minimal numbers of blocks that can be cut up under this scheme. And I just cannot, in 12 years being on council, reconcile the 1 kilometre number. And I've kept saying that. Why was 1 kilometre picked? And at the AGM, I asked that question. But apparently, it's an arbitrary number. You have to have a number
to me, it should be to do with the height above sea level and flooding and all that sort of thing. I believe 1 kilometre is ridiculous.
Any further comments before I take it to the vote?
Councillor Wright?
I would like to support what Councillor Johnson has stated, and I think that it is an important thing. I don't think we want to end up like other coastal towns in other states. There's a lot to be loved about what we have and a lot to be lost. And the big reason that people come here is because of the scenic beauty and the natural beauty of the coastline, and not because there's ribbon development everywhere.
Councillor Whittaker?
Thank you, and I'd like to support what Councillor Johnson and Councillor Wright have said. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor?
I'm actually supporting both views on here. I agree with the 1 kilometre. That's just a... I know you've got to give it a number, but it's ridiculous. Why not go on heights and stuff like that? Anyway, I just have really big concerns if we're going to throw money into budgets and all the rest of it, that it's going to get to the TPC and they're going to say no because they've already looked at it previously on multiple occasions. So I just, anyway, I support that as that is at the moment.
Thank you, Councillor. I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Against? You're abstaining. Councillor Carter has abstained. Councillor Wright, Councillor Johnston and Councillor Whittaker are against. That has been carried. Thank you. 26.17.1 is the General Jake. Manager's report. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
John, would you like to have a bit of a talk about your report, please?
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to add a couple of things to this. So as councillors would see, I visited Glamorgan Spring Bay Council to attend their workshop to talk about some projects which have been underway up here for today, which related to the entire coast.
That was good opportunity,
positive response from the council on that, and sort of closed out with a focus on the next steps that that council could undertake to implement some of the outcomes from that particular project. Another one there is to do with the TAS Community Fund presentation regarding a potential youth-focused project. Now, I got conscripted into this at the last minute because the project was originally submitted under the banner of the St Helens Neighbourhood House, and TAS Community Fund have become a bit aware of the situation. So they raise questions around that situation. What it might mean is that council might have to temporarily step in as the grant recipient pending resolution of the situation there. That's either that or potentially the project might receive the funding. So I think for the benefit of our youth within our community, it's sort of just a logical one, temporarily do that, but that's assuming they receive funds for the application as well. So I'll keep councillors informed of that because this one very much came up last Wednesday at the presentation. So we'll just see where that how that pans out. Other ones too, councillors will note that there's future local government review the program there. Some processes in there regarding the remote meetings, learning development modules and local government charter. All of those things are going to be topical over the next few months for councillors to be aware of as change. And just in relation to that, the obviously the 26-27 state budget seems a long time ago. In fact, it's only just sort of really within this meeting cycle there. I've just highlighted a few changes within or a few items out of that state budget, which is just worth noting there. And some of the ones of concern, and I think they reflect the state government situation, is the reduction in funding for the Office of Local Government, reduction in funding for the State Planning Office, and that was a substantial reduction in funding. And then also Parks and Wildlife probably got out of it really well with only a 10% reduction in funding compared to some of the others. But I think it's just a sign of the times there, Mr. Mayor, as well. And just a little bit of brief information around the forthcoming local government elections, which will ramp up in coming months.
Can I have somebody move the General Manager's report? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Whittaker. John, just on one other part there, you've got it mentioned under roads and transport. At the moment, the government's going to give us a bump of another $3.5 million under the heavy vehicle road tax. At the moment, the government collects quite a lot of money out of the heavy vehicle road tax, and we was only been getting, and it hadn't changed for 26 years, we're only getting $1.5 million between 29 councils. And that's based on a matrix of your road coverage and length and whatever. We managed at LGAT through government, local government all supporting an increase, and the government gave us $5 million last year, which is a $3.5 million bump. They're going to do it again this year, but it looks like it's going to drop back to 1.5 after this year. So the money the government collects goes back into consolidated revenue, and once again, mum and dad ratepayers are subsidising state government, and this is something that I get on my high horse about all the time. Collect money, it's got it, and it should go back to a matrix that treats each and every council fairly. We have bridges, we have roads, we have vehicles that use those and damage those roads and bridges, and yet mum and dad ratepayers are supposed to subsidise council to help repair them when they've been damaged. We've got bigger trucks, longer trucks, heavier trucks, and it's not acceptable to drop back down to 1.5 million. So we just need to be aware, and we all want to keep on pursuing that we get that increase as a permanent, not just a quick fix to try to quieten us down a bit, because it does have an effect on our budget that we set in break a day, what we get out of that as well. Would you like to talk to any more about that, John?
No, Mr. Mayor, you've said it.
Thank you. Councillor Chappell.
Just in regards to the testimony presentation, that work that was being done on that potential youth focus project, I'm assuming has been done previously, before all these other issues have happened with enabled house, it's that staff have been working on previously, and obviously they've put the application in to TCF. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Councillor
Carter.
I have a question around that tax, but I think you've explained it very well. Thank you, Mayor. Just can you give us is there any more information you can provide in terms of that meeting with Chris Griffin and what key projects we might be talking about now?
With that one, Mr. Mayor, so they were looking at the potential infrastructure projects that the council might require project management for. So went through, and we don't have a big pipeline of projects like some councils, like we don't have a park out at the airport, Techno Park, that needs to be dealt with there. So the potential projects, say the Scamander waste compactor facility, do we require project management support for that? If we had funding for our say George's Bay foreshore walking track, if we receive sufficient funding from the federal government to undertake that, would we require support for that? So really we don't have a range of projects we might require support for. As an example, at the moment Flinders Island have got a major project to do with their airport, and they are receiving some project management support for that project there as well. So that's a bit of an indication of the sorts of things they're looking for. So he was really just looking to see what was a pipeline of projects we might have from infrastructure point of view coming through in the next 3 to 5 years.
So there is some reason to feel a little bit confident if we can get some of those little projects that you mentioned up, that would be good. But I guess what I was saying is there any benefit to break a day in that? And you've outlined that, so I'm happy with that. Just wondering if you could give us any further update on the Tas Water in terms of the Samaria's water scheme?
So through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, so as previously outlined, and Tas Water will be coming to a council workshop to update us on progress with this. But this is, as previously mentioned, about the St Mary's Water Scheme and bringing water from Fingal to St Mary's to do that. So they really were talking detail around pipeline routes and a few of the sensitive areas, how they're progressing with developing that project through to delivery as well. So they've had a few challenges along the way, but
Yeah, we don't have at this point in time a timeframe,
we've been working with landholders.
Last one. Just in regards to page 195, referring to the state planning dropping budget, I'm just wondering, given that it's 30% over 1 year and then assumingly 30% the following year, what sort of impact is that going to have on us at a local level in terms of planning stuff?
Yeah, a little bit hard to quantify the impact it's going to have. Because state planning is predominantly involved in those strategic type ones like regional land use strategies. That program is coming towards a completion there. Also state planning policies, a few of those things as well. So it is concerning, that reduction, but we should not see a lot of impact here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, John.
Just emerging initiatives under economic resilience, workforce and regional development. I don't know if it's a question, but more, well, there is one question in it. But I think these are really positive future priorities, I think, or watching these emerge, because I think the creative industry is something that we should be looking at with our own creative artistic community here is pretty sensational, and the digital economy. And but I was just wondering about the EV charging infrastructure. Last time I was here, I think I might have been in a workshop, but we were talking about maybe getting some support to get an EV charging station, because we were like the end point of something, and I just wondered if we'd have any few. I don't know if I'm speaking out of school.
We're not the end point, Councillor Johnson. We're the start of everything good.
Okay, it might be, but I just remember the conversation that we were having. Yeah,
certainly, we are still working with providers on that for the installation of additional charging infrastructure in St Helens. So will be something coming back to council in the next couple of months over that as well. So, thank you.
Any further questions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.17.2 is the annual plan. John, is there anything you'd just like to mention and walk your way through that? Yeah,
so thank you, Mr Mayor. Obviously, this is sort of part of the budget, the annual cycle there as well. Probably just a few key things, Mr Mayor, but obviously project or in this forthcoming year, a focus on sort of completion of some strategic work we've got underway, and also implementation of some of the existing strategic programs as well, that obviously once you've done that work, you want to do something with it. So that's part of it there as well. And also we've sort of looked at some of the other trends at the regional, state and national level as well with this. So in the report, in Table 1, there's a high-level summary of the themes of the various initiatives, followed by a bit of a more detailed explanation further down. But certainly completing and embedding that current strategic work is there, which includes things like the Economic Development Strategy, Binlong Bay Fires Master Plan, the Bay Fires Master Plan, the Binlong Bay Strategy, just a couple of examples. Plus also, we've got the development of a new strategic plan in our on our radar for the year ahead. Digital transformation is an ongoing one that we're dealing with, and certainly council have seen a few different projects come through over the last couple of months, and it's all about sort of embedding those and also then then community wellbeing and inclusion, accessibility. Yes, we've got an officer on board, and we're just reassessing that community wellbeing focus post the pilot project, and also looking at the youth strategy as well. Now, with the community wellbeing piece, that will tie into the strategic plan, because that is a requirement that's going to come through legislation. What it looks like, not quite sure yet. What it means in reality, not quite sure yet either. But certainly we're well placed to address that in the context of a strategic plan. Obviously, economic resilience, workforce and regional development. So obviously, we've got the Study Hub. We've got a number of initiatives, Study Hub, Regional Jobs Hub, working on housing there as well. But the population strategy work is a key piece of understanding the impact that that has on a range of our service delivery, other services that we need to have delivered in that area. Infrastructure. Obviously, we've had the new Transport Master Plan there. Big focus in asset management as well, with the Strategic Asset Management Plan coming through to Council early in the new year as well, and the system that sits behind that as well, which will just bring us up into a contemporary asset management space. And then we've got the projects which come through the strategic work, including the Scamander Waste Compactor Situation, other elements within the waste strategy. Environment. Climate adaptation NRM perspective. So obviously we've got coastal hazard adaptation planning going on, and certainly with the Scamander project, once again, a project which has just been completed, the first stage. There are projects there which flow from that, so we need to be looking at that and then seeing what the implementation that looks like. And one of the big ones too, which we've been doing for a few years now, but we will further work on, is integration of climate risk into our planning and asset management activities. Governance, organisation capability. We started work on completing a 5-year workforce development plan. Now, this is really around succession planning and making sure we have the skills and the resources within the organisation that we need as well. And with the skills, it's about the career pathways. Skill, huge needs. The driver who's retiring, then who's coming through to actually potentially take on that role there as well. This is also something that's legislated, which is coming in, but we're just going to be a bit ahead of the curve on this one. And obviously with the new Local Government Act reforms, is all participating in those legislative changes. That, Mr. Mayor, is very much a high-level snapshot of what's there. In the report, at the back end of the report, I've included a statement as to how the annual plan gives effect to Council's current strategic plan as well, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, John.
Happy to work with questions, yeah.
Can I have somebody move the General Manager's report be received on the annual plan? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions? Councillor Carter?
Quite a number, just little clarifications. Just the first one would probably be more of an observation rather than a question, but there's quite a significant endeavour in your plan to, you know, for digital inclusion, online service delivery, stuff like that. I guess that jumped out at me when I was reading it. Simply, I think it's a great initiative and it's obviously necessary, but it also highlights to me the need to bring the community along with that one, because the significant demographic of our community struggles in that regard, hence, you know, what I was talking about this morning earlier. So I applaud what's in there. I think it's a great thing, but I think we've also got to remain mindful of the demographic of our community and how to make sure that that's a comforting experience. Can I ask a question around the communication? It's on page 211, it says communications community survey removed. I'm just wondering what that might have been and why was it removed, if it's some sort of conversation.
That was really a piece of work that we talked about doing as part of the really precursor to the website and review. So it was really a bit of homework around, okay, the best ways to communicate with our community. It was a time, once it's done, so it's effectively completed. But it was in our initial thinking to do a greater piece of work in that space, but we also very mindful of how much survey work we've had with community in recent months, and we felt that we could probably gain sufficient information from that without surveying the community ever again for something. So it was one of those ones which was a bit borderline, but made the call that we didn't think it was going to add additional value there to it. So, and certainly there'll be a bit of engagement process through this as well. So it's an ongoing process that we do.
Thank you.
On page 216, it's talking about town plans. Okay, so I guess I'm wondering what that means when we read town plans review need for local township plans in the context of the development of the next.
During the current strategic planning process, or when we developed the current strategic plan 10 years ago, a bit under 10 years ago, through that process, we had a lot of smaller fine-grained items that we thought we didn't want to lose, so we established a township plan alongside these ones. So what we're saying here is we're just going to review the need for them because the current plans are finished. We'll just review the need for them in the context of developing our new strategic plan. They may still proceed. We may develop new ones, we may develop something different, but we just don't want to say, yes, we're going to do it, when actually it mightn't be the best way to proceed. So we're just going to review it in that context.
I found it interesting. I just wondered what the actual intent of that was. And just, again, maybe not so much a question, but an observation. I think it's 223, if I can get to that page, so I can be more specific about it. There's quite a reference in terms of housing. And I guess I read quite clearly in there a focus on ageing, providing for ageing, and certainly for public and emergency housing. I'm just wondering whether we also should be giving some stronger consideration to the fact that much of our economy depends on having seasonal workers, all of that, of the nature. So I guess what I'm saying is I would also think it would be valuable to put in a focus on the economic aspect of it, having accommodation for service delivery and all of that sort of stuff, because education, health, the whole lot are all impacted by the fact we can't get accommodation for our workers. So that's not a criticism. I think you aged housing, there's quite a significant comment in there, and certainly the emergency housing stuff is there as well, but I think we do need to focus on the economic support stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point, Councillor Carter. I'm just sort of thinking about we're sort of seeing a bit of this drop out of the strategic regional partnership housing conversations, but that's focused on housing needs analysis, which will bring in that key worker employee type thing. But whether we should actually include an action in there for the year ahead, there will be logic to do that. So we'll include an action for that. Yeah, we'll add an action in there, Mr. Mayor, as part of Council's adoption of this.
Councillor Whittaker.
Thank you for all the explanations there. Page 231, just wondering why the St Helens District High School would be looking to move to the sporting complex area.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. That's been something which came through the Eastern Strategic Regional Partnership. It was something that had been discussed at Council a number of times around that when they come to a major upgrade of the St Helens High School, which is constrained for space, do you keep doing Band-Aid fixes or those sorts of upgrades, or at some stage do you look to do a complete new facility on a greenfield site? So this was to acknowledge that within the context of this, that, and there is funding there in that strategic regional partnership, just to look at whether this is an option that might be considered down the track there as well.
Councillor Johnson.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Just can you explain to me just some of the wording? So we've got reframed.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, but it's just slightly different. Is that what that is? And it will continue?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And so carried over means it will continue?
And what that means, it hasn't changed, it's just carried through because it wasn't completed.
Okay. Or that the wording slightly... I was just trying to work out. So reframed and continued.
Yeah, so reframed, it's going to continue, but it's been reshaped what we're actually going to do, whereas a carried over means it's largely in track and really we're not changing, we're just going to continue what we're doing, because some of those projects, none of them ever finish when you want them to necessarily, but that's what it is.
And completed, Okay, so 219, action 2113, circular economy, which we sort of started talking about through the waste management. You know, we just, that popped up. I see that that's now completed. Now, to me, that's probably, I know it might be about plastic, so I'm not quite sure what it was, but for me, that's quite an important bit of work that we should be, I mean, ahead of the game, if anything, you know.
That one there too, some of these it says completed, but we're still going to be engaged in that, and it's more as a business as usual. So if we reported on every piece of business as usual that we do, then you'd have a report there which would probably be 10 times longer than this. But early on with the circular economy, we had more of a greater focus there. Now it's part of what we do through Northern Tas or Circular North, is to look at those things. So if there are any opportunities that pop up, we'll deal with that still through the opportunities piece, but this was a separate piece around circular economy.
Okay. It feels to me that that's something that we as a council, and we can talk about it at another time, but it's something that is sort of very important to me, to us.
And we'll continue.
In particular regional communities in some ways, because, you know, we talked about the silage and the a place like Break a Day would be good if we're ahead of the curve there, I think. Just on page 214, carried over, regarding the mountain bike events. That's great. So the addition there, when it says carried over, because there's more things there in that, would that be also like a reframing? Because I don't know, but including trail running, I think that's a great initiative, and it would be great if we could have people walking through there, because it's a beautiful, that is a beautiful bit of...
We've had it already, Richard. Yeah. Sorry, so it was always in there, we just sort of, it wasn't so much reframing, we just expanded it. We just expanded a bit.
Yeah. Okay, if you can understand, I'm just looking at what's carried over and what's fine. Thank you for that.
Just back to the conversation about the school relocation. I've sort of for a while thought, if there was going to be a relocation, wouldn't it be a more sensible thing rather than relocate the whole thing, but separate primary from secondary school and perhaps have a secondary school up in the sporting complex, keep this piece here, which is primary school, because the problem is obviously gross. There's not enough room to have both on the one property. However, if it was a separation like it is in most other places I've ever lived, there's primary school and then high school a few kilometres up the road, would that not make more sense?
I think when this all came about, it wasn't about that. It was about the cost of repairing what's there. It's
so, in that bad repair, is it?
Yeah, they're spending that much money on it all the time. Barry?
I was the one who mooted the idea. And as a school principal, I just thought the site over here is ludicrous. You've got 500 kids, you've got half an oval for 500 kids to potentially play on. I know one stage they had staggered lunch hours. You've had the other buildings put around it now. Why not move them up to the sports oval, utilise all the sporting facilities, have a far safer area for buses, for kids to move, take the heat, the traffic out of this area. You go and try and park there at 8:30 to 9 o'clock or 3 o'clock onwards, try to come out of Hilly's Corner and see what happens. Medea Park needs to expand. They could have come down and taken over part of the infant section. Possum Magic, at the time when I moved it, had a waiting list, I think, of 36. They could have gone over the road. So to me, it ticked every box that a school would want, apart from I couldn't quite get my head around how you would fence it to keep the little kids in, but
That was this. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to take to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.17.3 is the NTDC quarterly report. John,
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As noted, this is the quarterly report from NTDC on their activities.
Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions on this? Pretty straightforward. Take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.17.4, the BEC Centre funding. John, would you like to go through this one?
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, as councillors are aware, we've had numerous conversations over recent 12 months or recent months around the situation with the Business Enterprise Centre as well. Go back to Councillor Haddock's presentation late last year, and then we've also had conversations since. So, I've delved into the funding situation there, but background, we've historically provided them with an annual funding contribution under the service agreement. This was set up in May 21, and we provide $28,000 per annum to support local business advisory services, and we'd lined it with the funding by the state government. The funding was intended to support BC delivery of business advice and related support to the Brokedale community. So, there's been a number of questions raised regarding the value for money, service reach and alignment with Council's economic development role, and whether the BEC service now duplicates business support available through the Tasmanian government. So I've been pursuing information there, and we do have clarity as to what their current or their new grant deed involves, and that's noted in there, $50,000 per year over 3 years. For broader East Coast activities, including annual business expo, business surveys and business roundtable forums to provide feedback for the state. Funding's not specific to Brokedale, it's the East Coast. When you look at that, the funding that's provided there is not aligned with providing assistance to existing businesses in Brokedale. And that's something that the council fund has been provided by. So when we look at the state government model, so there's two streams there. There's one to the business support service and Brokedale, Business Enterprise Centre, Nick Crawford, are funded to provide that support to new businesses. That's businesses intending or under 12 months of age. 12 months of age. They're limited to 2 hours assistance, and they're paid, the Business Enterprise Centre is paid an hourly rate for the hours that they provide, but limited to 2 hours for each new business. To be blunt, that's ludicrous from a business startup point of view. When a business person most needs that support, so here's 2 hours of free service is an absolute joke. It takes you an hour to find out what they're actually thinking about doing without then providing some guidance on how they might go about business planning, source information, etc. like that. So, absolute joke that. The other element is to do with the existing businesses, and that's the Tasmanian Business Advisor Advice Service Advisor stream. The Brokedale area is listed as being serviced by other advisors, and the Business Enterprise Centre and Nick are not one of the service providers for the Brokedale area. I've asked why, I haven't had a response on that one there as well. So I've provided a bit more of an overview there, Mr. Mayor, councillors, around the options and where we go to from here. At the end of the day, my recommendation is there regarding council ceasing light funding moving forward to the Business Enterprise Centre on the basis that it doesn't align with a previous intent with that support. It's a sad situation. That it's got to this stage with the Business Enterprise Centre because it's been a valuable part of the community for 20-odd years, or actually near 30 years, actually. But really the state government have gone in one direction, which has left us sitting over here in a completely different situation.
Could I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Johnston. Any comments?
Most people don't even know where the BBC is anymore. It's not exactly...
Take this to the vote.
Can I just make a comment? Sorry, I think... Oh, sorry. Did you want to...
Councillor Pugh.
I'd just like to say a few things. I'm an ex-board member, and when I came onto the board, this was a thriving group. It was Commonwealth and state funded, and it was funded properly to allow them to do the work that they did. And they did an exceptional job. And I'd like to pay tribute to Nick. In recent years, the changes to the funding model have been an absolute nightmare. I remember turning up to board meetings, not knowing if we could pay the power bill in a month's time, not knowing if Nick was going to get paid. But Nick has just continued on and tried to do the very best for the BEC. As our general manager has alluded, it's not a workable situation at the moment for us, but Nick and the BEC have done a sensational job in the past for Breaker Day and for the East Coast.
Totally support every one of those comments, Councillor Fever. Nick has given his heart and soul to our community and, to be quite blunt, been shafted by the feds and the state with the funding.
Exactly.
Councillor Johnston.
Thank you, Vice, for those comments. It also feels to me that while I agree with the shafting and the funding and et cetera, but I'm wondering, you know, if it's fit for purpose too. The way the world has moved in all of these things, we're shifting, we're doing things like that. As, you know, the world has changed a lot from 30 years ago, and part of it's funding, but it's also part of how people do business. So, you know.
On that one note, Councillor Johnston, it's because of how things are changing we need the online access centre, because most of the older demographics are not moving with the times, and we need support.
I've got no question with on the online support. Absolutely. Absolutely. No question that. That's more important than ever.
If we were to stop funding the BEC, the online access centre becomes even more crucial. Because we need that extra support.
Very, very specialist advice.
Yeah.
The state government changed their service delivery approach 10 years ago to this remote online model. It failed. So a few years ago, they re-established the bricks and mortar approach, and that worked, which it used to work. Now they're going back to the old model. So once again, it'll fail, most likely, but we don't learn from lessons of the past, unfortunately. But so this one, a lot of it is face-to-face with this. I completely agree with that approach, but you know that intense. But as I said, the people wanting to start up a business need a lot more support than 2 hours worth of free support. That's ridiculous. You're probably looking at a day's support over a period of time for that.
And look, I think we could all sit around the table here and give our heartfelt thanks and gratitude to Nick. He deserves every bit of it. Not that times have changed, situation has changed funding-wise, and unfortunately the new grant deed that Nick is operating on does not fit with our funding for Breaker Day. So we've come to this conclusion. Councillor Carter.
Thank you. Appreciate all the words today. I guess in terms of the recommendation you're making, I just want to be clear about point three: cease providing annual funding for the BEC effective from the 30th of June. It would be my understanding from a workshop conversation that would mean there's a further amount of money going to be paid to the BEC. If that's no, can't talk about that.
We've already committed to it in the budget for 12 months.
Okay, so I just wanted to be clear about what I'm voting on, so I won't say anything further in terms of my question, but I guess I think I understand what that means in terms of the 30th of June 26. Will it be correct? Okay, thank you.
I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried. You against, Warren?
No,
you're abstaining or against?
Yes.
You're against, thank you. So that is carried. Person to Regulation 17.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2025. Council will move into closed council. Can I have somebody move? Are you leaving, Councillor Whittaker? Moved by Councillor Wright, seconded by Councillor Johnson. All in favour? Carried unanimously.